This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Praise God. Well, I've been in a series, you probably didn't notice that, but we've been talking about love this month. Amen? And I'm telling you, it's love is the key to, I believe, as a Christian, walking in the love of God is the key to your success. How many people want to be successful out here? If you want to be successful, you're going to have to learn to walk in God's love. Last week we talked about, you know, different types of love, friendship love, a romantic love. And we talked about that the agape love of God. And this love is not contingent on, you know, what people do for us. It's what we do for people. We're not putting anything on anybody. If we do something nice, we're not expecting something nice in return. God will always bless us when we're giving out. Amen? And I love that. And we talked about, you know, there's five key elements of the agape love. And I'm just going to touch on them today and then go into my message. But just we need to be practicing these things. You need to be practicing agape love. And the first key was give words of affirmation. Give a genuine compliment. It's always good to give praise. It's always good to let somebody know if they're doing a good job. Amen? It's good to, you know, husbands and wives, compliment one another. Amen? See something that they're good at doing and compliment them on it. Amen? And that really goes a long way. In Proverbs 25:11, it says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. I love that. So saying the right thing can really add to somebody for that day. Because we're all encountering issues. Anybody encountering any issues on a day-to-day basis? We all encounter issues. And I don't know about you, but I need some encouragement. That's the reason why everybody needs to be on the text community, because we send out a scripture so that it can be an encouragement to you. So if you're not on the text community, get with me at the end of the service so that you can have that daily scripture that comes in to build your faith. Another way that we practice the agape love of God is through acts of service. Acts of service. And so we need to start doing acts of service, especially in the house. You know, my act of service is taking out the garbage. Amen. Men, I think that's a man's thing, right? Is that a man thing? Men are supposed to take out the garbage, right? And also I like to wash the cars. So I try to do service like that. I don't have Yin wash the cars. Amen. And now I'm even trying to put gas in the car, too. I won't let Yin do that. I'll try to do that. Just trying to go the extra mile. It's good to do acts of service for one another. Amen? And I love that. And it says here in 1 Peter 4:10, it says, each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So here, Peter is saying that we all have gifts and we should use them to bless one another. Can I get a witness in the house today? And so that's acts of service. Whatever God gives us, let's use it for the service of others. Giving gifts is another way of walking in God's love. Amen? In other words, giving a gift to somebody, blessing somebody. Maybe even if you're eating out at dinner, maybe give an extra tip. Give a little bit more. Amen? To your server. But that went over big today. Amen? Glory to God. But amen. I used to serve tables. I used to wait tables. Amen? And it's always nice to get a little extra. We were out eating last Friday, and I gave a little extra to the waitress. And she was blessed by it, and I was blessed by it. Amen? Amen. So God is so good. And it says in Hebrews 13:16, do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. So God is pleased when we do good. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to walk a life pleasing to God. How many people want to walk a life pleasing to God? Amen. And so it pleases God when we give gifts when we're generous in our gift giving, amen. Quality time is another way. And all of these are keys that could be a key maybe to your spouse. Maybe one of these things might be a key that gets them excited, gets them, receiving love, that people receive love a lot of different ways. And so quality time is a good way to give your love to your loved ones. Amen. Sometimes we get too busy, and you never should get too busy for your family or for your friends. Amen. We don't, we don't want to get too busy. We want to make sure that we are learning to fellowship with one another. Amen. In 1 John 1:3, it says, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us." Fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So it's about relationship, but it's also about fellowship. And fellowship is relating to one another. That's the reason why when we start our service and we have worship and we like to greet one another before the service. Why? Because we need to have some fellowship time. And then I love it when people are hanging out at the end of the service after we close and they're fellowshipping with one another, building one another up. That's what we're called to do. Can I get an amen here? And then quality time, amen. And the last key that I talked about last week was physical touch, a hug, a handshake, a pat on the arm, amen. And these are expressions of God's love. We need to be reaching out to people. We need not to be, distancing ourselves, we need to be reaching out and touching people. In 2 Corinthians 13:12, and I found this expression in a lot of the epistles that Paul wrote, which was interesting. He wrote this expression, greet one another with a holy kiss. With a holy kiss. Now, back then, they may have kissed, like on the cheek, or some people kiss, as an expression of showing warmth and love. We don't do that here, but we do a high five, amen, and thank God, and nothing wrong with that. And we know there's an unholy kiss, and that was the one that Judas gave to Jesus when he betrayed him. And I think the mafia took that up, and they call it the kiss of death. Amen. And so we got to be very careful. Amen. And we need to be, walking in the love of God, touching people with the love of God. These are great expressions of God's love. And I just thought I'd just recap on last week, just in case you forgot. Amen. Now, today I want to focus on my message today in walking in God's love. And really, it's really the key to walking in God's love is it's the power of influence. Somebody say influence. So God wants you influencing people for Jesus. Amen. In other words, we need to be an influence. And if you're mean and if you're ornery, you're not going to be an influence. You can't be a mean person and be a positive, godly influence. Amen? You got to be a loving person. You can't be walking around with an attitude and a chip on your shoulder if you're going to be a godly influence. Some people have that. And sometimes we get a chip on our shoulder when people hurt us. Amen? And we got to be very careful about that. Walking God's love is a power of influence. And I like that. So we know that the key to walking in God's love, amen, is walking in His ways, amen. Paul exhorts us that we need to make sure when we get hurt that we don't allow problems to come into our lives, amen. And when we have problems, when we allow attitudes to come into our life, it causes us to lose godly influence. Yes, amen. When we are hurt or in pain, it causes us to lose godly influence. And sometimes when we get hurt by others, Joseph was hurt by his brothers, but Joseph realized that it was because what the devil intended for harm, God turned for good. And so when Joseph got thrown into the pit, It was for the good of the family because he ended up being raised up as the prime minister. And so Joseph did not focus on his brother's mishaps. And I'm going to say this, we can't be focused on people's weaknesses. We can't be focused on how short they come into our standards. Amen. And so, but when we encounter hurt, it causes us to put our walls up. Number one, when we lose godly influence, when we have an attitude of protecting ourselves from being hurt, so we won't open ourselves to new relationships. Has anybody in the house ever been hurt by anybody? Have you ever been hurt in a relationship? Have you ever had a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship and said, well, I'm never going out again? Have you ever been hurt? And sometimes when we get hurt, we close up. Amen. And so when we close up, it keeps us from developing godly relationships. So we got to be very careful we don't keep the walls up. You're going to have to learn to trust people again. You may lose trust in some people, but you know what? God will bring other people in your life that will build trust with you. Can I get a witness in the house today? And it says here in Proverbs 18:1, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he rages against all wise judgment. So a lot of times when we get hurt, we separate ourselves, and God doesn't want us separating ourselves. He wants us being with other people so that we can get strong. Can I get a witness in the house today? So that we can build one another up. We lose godly influence when we have an attitude that we must benefit from every relationship that we develop. In other words, we must get something out of that relationship. I'm going to say this. If you're going to build a godly influence, it's not what people do for you. It's what you do for people. Oh, I'm going somewhere this morning. It's not what people do for you. Oh, I'm going to develop this relationship and see what they can do for me. That's not how we build godly influence. We build godly influence on how we can do something for them. Can I get a witness in the house today? A lot of the world, the way they build relationships with people that can do something for them. They seek out people that can do, but we need to be seeking out people of what we can do for them, not for what they can add to us. In Romans 12:16, it says this way, have the same regard for one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. So this is saying here, Paul is saying that we need to be making our relationships with people of every degree. Amen. There's going to be people in our stratosphere that's going to be in maybe a higher level financially. Maybe they might have more going on. But there should be also people in our relationships where they may not have as much as you do. But you should always be developing a relationship with people so that you can add to them. Can I get a witness in the house today? And you never know, that person you don't think can add to you will surprise you, and they will add to you in the future. Amen. Do you believe that today? So you develop relationships to add to people. I like in Romans 12:16, it says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Don't think you know it all. Amen. I love that. That's the New Living Translation. So we want to be in harmony. We don't want to be proud. We don't want to just pick and choose who we want to associate with. No, we want to be people that add and associate with all people that we can. Amen. We lose godly influence when we have an attitude of trying to control people in our relationships. Have you ever been in a relationship where people try to control you? They try to tell you what to do. They get in a relationship with you, but they want to start manipulating you and trying to control you. Nobody likes to be in a relationship like that. And we don't get in relationships to control and manipulate people. Amen. That's not the reason why we're in a relationship, to try to get people to do what we want them to do. Amen. And so I don't know about you, but I don't like being controlled. How many people like being controlled out here? Nobody likes to be told what to do. Amen. Nobody likes to be. That's why the Holy Spirit doesn't tell us what to do. He leads us and he guides us in all truth. God's not going to wake you up and say, get to church. You know, he's not going to throw a lightning bolt down at you. You better get to church or there's hell to pay. No, God doesn't do that. He just leads you and he guides you through an inward witness. Amen. And I like what it says in 1 Peter 5:3. Don't lord it over people assigned to your care, but lead them by your own good example. So I'm going to say this. When we come in contact with people, sometimes God is allowing those people that we can speak into their lives, that we can be a godly influence. And sometimes people that we connect with, sometimes they're at a level in their faith, they can be a godly influence to us. And so that's a key. God is leading us to have godly relationships, to be a godly influence so that we can bring people closer to Jesus. I'm going to say this, people aren't perfect. Have you realized that? And sometimes we can get critical or judgmental on people. But if we're critical and judgmental, it's because we're not seeing that we're imperfect ourselves. Amen. Some people say, I don't want to go to that church because there's a lot of mess ups in the church. Well, if they get there, it would be really messed up. Amen. Why? Because they got some problems too. Amen. And so a lot of people are trying to focus. That's why some people don't go to church. They focus, well, there's a bunch of hypocrites in church. No, I don't think so. I think that people are trying to walk the walk in Christ. If you're going to church, it's because you're coming in to learn the warfare of a Christian. And you're learning how to walk in Christ. Yeah. Amen. Amen. People will disappoint us at times. We're going to focus on Peter this morning. And I like Peter because Peter did every wrong thing in the book. Amen. And he did some right things. But I like Peter because Peter had some problems. In Matthew 14, 25 and 31, Jesus was walking on the sea. They were in a boat. And I'm not going to read this account. And Peter asked Jesus, if that's you, bid me to come out into the water. And this is powerful. Jesus said to Peter in Matthew 14, 25, 31, he said, come out into the water. And Peter stepped out of that boat and walked on the water. He was doing amazing things. And he was walking towards Jesus. And then we know the story, the wind blew, the waves brushed up, and Peter lost his focus. He lost his focus on Jesus, and he began to sink. Then Jesus lifted him up. He was beginning to sink and got him back to the boat. But Jesus wasn't excited about Peter walking on the water. And Jesus said to Peter, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" So I'm going to say this, that day, Jesus was expecting Peter to walk back on that water back to the boat. But Jesus reached out to Peter and got him. So when our faith fails, thank God for his mercy. Amen. Amen. And so I really believe that Jesus was a little disappointed that Peter did not walk, that he allowed the storms of life to get him off course. And I'm going to say this, don't allow the storms of life to get you off course in your walk with Jesus. Don't allow the winds of adversity to get you unfocused. Stay focused on Jesus. So people will disappoint you at times. Have you ever been disappointed? We all have. Amen. Number two, people make mistakes at times. People will make mistakes. We are all human. I wish I never made mistakes. I don't like making mistakes. Yeah. Amen. I don't like anybody out there hate making mistakes. I hate it. But you know what? We're human. We're going to make mistakes. And in Matthew 16, 21 and 23, it says, from this time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Jesus knew what was going to happen to him. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are offense to me, for you are not mindful of things of God, but of things of men. So we see here that Peter, he got too big for his britches. Peter thought because just earlier in that passage, Jesus complimented Peter and said, you know, when Jesus asked, who do men say that I am? Peter said, you are the Son of God, the Son of the living God. And of course, Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, that flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And upon this rock, I will build my church and the gate. And so Peter thought, man, I'm the rock. Amen. He started thinking he was all that. We got to be very careful. And then Peter started trying to tell Jesus what to do. And of course, Jesus just came back and said, Satan, get behind me. Amen. And so that was a strong rebuke. But this is, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to overstep some boundaries every once in a while. Have you ever overstepped a boundary in your relationship? And you have to learn to pull back. Glory to God. People are selfish at times. People are selfish. We are people that a lot of times we're selfish. If there was a group photo with you in it, the first person you look at is you. You want to make sure that you didn't photobomb the picture. Amen. That's the first person you look. You want to make sure you look good. You're not worried about anybody else looking bad. You just want to make sure you're looking good. Is that right? So we are selfish at times. We are self-focused at times. Can I get a witness in the house today? You know, we're born selfish. Glory to God. That's why you got reborn. You got to be reborn, be born again, selfless. So you're born selfish, but you're reborn selfless. It's a process. Look at your neighbor and say, it's a process. So it's a process to get selfless. And that's why you're in church today. You're getting up, getting ready, getting all dolled up because you're selfless, because you're coming to serve the living God. You're coming to build your faith. You're believing that there's a future and a hope, and there's a sweet by and by, and there's a judgment seat that Jesus is going to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Well done for coming to church, for being your best, by being a blessing. Glory to God. People are selfish at times. Peter and the other disciples fell asleep at Jesus' most vulnerable time. Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The soldiers were about ready to come in to take him away. Jesus was under great pressure. He needed the strength of the other disciples. This is amazing to me. And Jesus is the Son of God. He walks on water. He raises the dead. He multiplies fish and loaves. He does all these miracles. But he still needed his disciples to be with him. That's powerful. Because Jesus is not just divinity. He's humanity. Amen. Jesus was human. And he needed the strength of his disciples. And we need each other. Don't think we don't need one another. We need each other. And then I love this in Mark 14, 37. Because Jesus bid Peter and some of the other disciples to watch with him. To pray. Because Jesus was under great turmoil. And have you ever been under great turmoil? Have you ever dealt with hard times and you needed a friend? You needed somebody to lean on? lean on Jesus. And then here in Mark 14, it said, then he came, found them sleeping, and said to Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. So people will be selfish at times. The disciples fell asleep when Jesus needed them the most. And I'm going to say this, that people are in our lives, and there are seasonal people in our lives, and people may not be in our lives all the time. Amen. And, people will abandon and betray us at times. Have you ever been in a relationship that you gave it your all and somebody still left you? Amen. You gave it your all and they didn't like some of the things that you do, or they focused on some of your negative traits and they ditched you. Have you ever been there? People will abandon us. But you know what? Jesus is a friend that will stick closer than a brother. You got to believe that. And Jesus will never abandon us. It says in Mark 14:50, they all forsook him and fled when the soldiers came. Peter denied Christ. In Mark 14:71, it says, then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And so this was a little girl that came to Peter when he was there, when Jesus was being charged. And the little girl said, aren't you one of the disciples? And that's when Peter started cursing. And that's when he denied Jesus. And sometimes we can be under pressure. Don't get on Peter. Don't get upset with Peter. Because sometimes when the pressure comes and you have so much pressure in your life, that it can cause you to do things you don't want to do. Pressure. That's the reason why we need to learn to cast our cares on the Lord. But I'm going to say this. Jesus, God will never leave us. Even in our most vulnerable times, even when we're the furthest away, that's when we're just one prayer away from Jesus coming to our beck and call. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So I'm going to say this. The Lord is with us no matter what. God is a good God, and he's a covenant-keeping God. And he's going to stay with us even in our worst times. Godly influence is produced by believing the best in people even after seeing the worst in them. That's a good quote right there. Godly influence is produced by believing the best in people even after seeing the worst in them. In other words, people can change. Amen. Jesus believed in Peter and after Peter denied him. This was Jesus after he was resurrected. He came to Peter and the other disciples. They were out there fishing in a boat, and they saw Jesus on the shore, and he was cooking breakfast for the disciples. Think about that. Jesus was cooking breakfast for the disciples, and John and Peter were in the boat, and John said, that's Jesus. Peter didn't realize it was Jesus at first, and Peter jumped out of that boat and started running towards Jesus. Amen. He was excited to see. Peter loved Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus was speaking to him. And because Peter denied Jesus 3 times, Jesus asked Peter 3 times if Peter loved him. Amen. And he said the 3rd time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And Peter was grieved because he said to him the 3rd time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Earlier he said, feed my lambs. And so Jesus was not focused on Peter's past mistakes. He was focused on what Peter could do in the present and in the future. Don't focus on people's past mistakes. Focus on what people can do today and what they can move forward in God in the future. You got to believe that. Amen. So if we're going to walk in godly influence, amen, and godly influence really is not determined by our level of our success, but it's determined by our ability to make other people successful. Amen. That's powerful. Our ability to reach people and be godly influence is not determined on our success, but on us helping other people be successful. How do we become people of loving, godly influence? Number one, we need to focus on the person. Focus on how we can be a blessing to others, not just focus on ourselves. So that's the key. When we're meeting people, we need to try to figure out being a way to be a blessing to them. In Philippians 2 and 4, it says, let each of you not only look for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Amen. I'm going to say this, that's not easy. It's not easy to be focused on being a blessing to others, because a lot of times we want the blessing ourselves. Amen. Is that right? But I'm telling you, in the process of you being a blessing, you're going to get a blessing. In the process of you sowing a blessing, you're going to receive a blessing, because you're going to reap what you sow. Whatsoever a man sows, so shall he reap. And you'll reap what you sow. And I'm telling you, you start sowing blessings to others, blessings will come back to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Some people might say, nobody ever does anything for me. Do you ever do anything for them? Probably, you know, nobody ever blesses me. Do you ever bless anybody? Do you bless people? Amen. You got to just turn it around. Are you a blessing? Amen. Because if you start becoming a blessing, guess what? God will start influencing people to be a blessing to you. I've seen it in my life. I bless people and people bless me. Amen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, that just happened this week. I blessed somebody and I got a blessing back. Amen. It was amazing. It was instantaneous. God can do that. That's the way God works. Amen. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Number two, if we're going to be a godly influence, we need to focus on the positive of people and not the negative. Again, we don't want to focus on people's negative traits. We want to focus on people's positive traits. In Ephesians 4:32, it says, be kind to one another, be tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgave you. So we want to be kind and tenderhearted, focused on people's positive traits and not their negative traits. Amen? Amen. We don't want to have a judgment attitude or a critter attitude. That is an influence killer. Amen. We got to see people in a positive light. Amen. We got to see people in a positive light. Even the people that beep their horn at you in traffic, see them in a positive light. You don't know what they're going through. They might be stressed out. They might need to get somewhere in a hurry. Amen. Just let it go. Amen. Amen. Because you might have been one of the horn beepers yourself. Amen. When you need to get to that place. If we're going to be positive people influence, we need to be focused on people's potential. Focus on people's potential. Everybody has potential. Everybody, God has graced everybody with something to do, and everybody has potential, and that potential is God-given. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. I love that. So we see here that God has given everybody gifts, talents, and abilities. And so we need to focus on people's potential and not their shortfalls. Amen. Number four, if we're going to be people of influence, we need to focus on people's purpose. Everybody has a purpose in God. And we got to realize that they have a purpose, that their purpose is not to aggravate you. Amen. Their purpose, Some people say they got a purpose. They're aggravating me. Amen. And so no, that's not their purpose. Glory to God. I was in church one time, and this one person would always grate on my nerves in church. This was many years ago before I was a pastor. And I said to the Lord, "What is that person's purpose? What is that person's purpose?" Because that person would always grate on my nerves. Amen. And this was when I was sitting in the audience with you guys. Amen. And the Holy Spirit showed me their purpose. And I said, "Wow, they got a purpose." Wow, it's not just to grate on my nerves. They got a purpose. Amen. And God showed me that. They showed me that person in a different light. Now I saw that person in a different light. Glory to God. And I saw that they had purpose. Not just to irritate me. Amen. And so people have purpose. Glory to God. It's like that Geico commercial. You got purpose. No, I'm kidding. We'll continue. Ephesians 2:10. And they look at that one guy. It looks like he has no purpose. But we'll continue. Ephesians 2:10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things He planned for us long ago. So this, I love this New Living Translation. It says, we are God's masterpiece. We're created anew to do good things planned long ago. That means that people have purpose, glory to God. And as we walk in love, we can encourage them in their purpose. If we're going to be people of godly influence, we got to focus on the process. This is not easy. Not everybody that comes into your life is always going to be in a place where you're going to be okay with everything they do. Amen. Amen. There's going to be things in people's lives that you're not going to be okay with some of the things they do. But overlook those things until God processes them into the people that God's calling them into. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. And so I love this because it says here in Luke 6:37, do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. Press down, shaken together, make room for more, running over and pour into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you give back. So this is basically saying that we need to understand there's a process that we're all going through. And we don't all have it. We are getting there. We are becoming more. We're becoming more like Jesus. But it's a process, and you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. Amen. Amen. And you know, I'm telling you, it's amazing. I see people through the years that started coming to church. They would come to church once a month. And then they would start coming to church twice a month. And then they start coming to church three times a month. And then pretty, you know, at first, you know, boy, they're not really too, you know, they don't come too often. And pretty soon they're coming every week. And pretty soon they're serving in the church. And pretty soon they're giving a testimony. And pretty soon God is using them. And we all start off small. We all start off maybe once a month if it's not raining. But you guys got here. Amen. And we all start off small. And then pretty soon we start coming out. And we start becoming more. And we start, now we got people that would only show up once every blue moon. Now we got people on the stage worshiping. We got people serving as ushers. We got people that serving as teachers. And they were all people that started out just coming maybe once in a while. And now they're coming in and they're becoming all that God has them to become. And I'm going to say this to you today, that as we walk in God's love, we will become people of influence and we will help people become all that God has intended them to become. And I want to close with this is one of my favorite scriptures in being a godly influence. It says this in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So I'm going to say this, that we need to be people of influence. We need to continue to let our light shine. We need to continue to give words of affirmation. We need to continue to give acts of service, give gifts, give quality time, give a physical touch. Amen? In other words, add something to someone today. And as you add something to someone, maybe a family member, maybe a child, maybe your nephew or niece, as you add something to them, they will become all that God has called them to be. Did you receive it today? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your mercies and your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father God, that you're helping us to walk in love and to be people of influence. And Father, I thank you for those that are here in the audience, those that are watching online. And perhaps you've never made a decision for Jesus. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You may not have another chance, so I want to give you the opportunity to pray a simple prayer. And praying this prayer will usher you in to the kingdom of God. And just pray this prayer and mean your heart. Say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that for the first time, you believe you got born again, stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you can grow in Christ. If you're here locally, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love for you to be a part of our church. If you're not here locally, find a good church home where you can grow in your walk with Christ and be a person of influence like I spoke today. Thank you for joining us, and God bless you.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.